Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Yeah, he also looks a lot like the Shakhtar Donetsk press officer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Hey ho, here we go. It's the Football Ramble, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Lovely to have your ears. I've got the Ramblers with me. Aren't I a lucky chap? Luke Moore.
Alright.
To my left. Pete Knowles are nearly opposite me.
Hello.
James or Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Is seated to my right. Now then, gentlemen. We've had an England victory. Mm. We've had an England hat trick. Favourite England hat trick from the annals of time? Luke, I want you to go first. Left of the dealer begins, as always.
Jermaine Defoe at Wembley, home to Bulgaria.
Okay.
Pete? No, I'm joking. It's not mine, really.
Oh, I thought that was... You were going to forfeit the points already.
No.
At this early stage.
Sort of process is being governed by the Pakistani officials. I already know I'm getting the point, so
okay, we'll carry on
with this charade.
Biting satire.
Naughty. Match fixing. Yeah. Do you remember that joke actually when a certain former Liverpool goalkeeper was
Bruce Grobler,
accused of match fixing.
What was that joke? Someone said, and Bruce Grobler will be reading the Saturday afternoon football results out on the Friday afternoon.
He got found not guilty, though.
Yes,
he did.
So Bruce is innocent. Right, yeah. Luke, hat trick time.
All joking aside, his life was ruined, so I will go for Gary Lineker.
I thought you were going to say Gary Neville for a minute.
No, he's not got one. I checked. I really wanted to go for Gary Neville.
You didn't need to check.
But they wouldn't let me.
Yeah, I'm having to remember now, and that's definitely true.
Yeah. History wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
Gary Lineker, Mexico 86. He got a hat-trick against Poland.
Poland, last game of the group.
Am I going to do this or are you doing it?
Well, I'm in charge.
Last group
game. And it was a lovely hat-trick. England needed the victory and won 3-0 that day.
Yeah.
Go on, what else have you got to say?
It was just a real, in my opinion, it was a an example of how you sum up Gary Lineker, a bit of a complete striker, you know. Mm. All about the goals. The first one was a textbook run to the near post from a striker. Mm-hmm. Second one was a crossing from Steve Hodge. Third one was a...
goalkeeping error.
It was, the goalkeeper spilled it from a corner net.
Yeah.
That's right.
But Lineker was there to pounce.
He was, and it was important because they lost the first group game to someone. Portugal.
That's right.
And they drew 0-0 against Morocco.
Yeah.
And so it was.
It was a poor start and they needed something.
And they went on to the quarterfinal. So that'll be mine. I loved Lineker when I was a kid. And also, he had the amazingly.
The wrist.
Funny wrist thing on, didn't he? Like, he had a broken
bandage
on the wrist. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Mm. It's quite iconic now. When you think of Lineker with his hand in the air celebrating, he's got the bandage on his wrist. So
I think Lineker got something like 5 hat-tricks for England, which is absolutely incredible.
Did he really?
Yeah, and the thing with him is, I remember even...
He got a haul against Spain once.
Well, even back then when I was very, very young, the thing with Lineker, that, as we've said before, that I'm sure kids have with Wayne Rooney now... Tanned legs. And also that you just trusted him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You really, really trusted him, and you were really just almost proud to have that player leading the line. I think there was a little bit of that with Shearer before
he sort of pounded
out.
Well, the one thing, we've said this before, but you forget, is that because he spent the latter half of his media career flogging crisps and making terrible puns on Match of the Day, he cheapened the fact that he was a brilliant player.
Yeah,
one of England's greatest ever.
I mean, kids grow up not going to know that now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they're just going to think, oh yeah, he's a presenter or something.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Andy Gray. It's like a lot of them, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that Andy Gray's up there with Gray.
Well, he was a good player.
He won the PFA Young Player and Player of the Year award in the same year. I think he was the first person to do it.
Yeah, he was. Only Cristiano Ronaldo's done it since. Mm. I think.
Even Jamie Redknapp was sort of a better player than he gets credit for.
That's right.
And that's, I think
Jamie Redknapp. Well, it's funny though, because he was quite a cultured midfield player.
He was, yeah.
And you'd expect, you know, because like say Hoddle or Ray Wilkins, quite cultured midfield players, good pundits.
Yeah.
Redknapp hasn't quite done
that. Redknapp spent most of his preparation for punditry when he was injured, probably. That's right. Which was all the time.
Yeah. Pete, hat trick time.
Well, I mean, we don't mention this fella enough, in my opinion.
He's from Newcastle.
And to be honest, if I was over 40, I'd probably mention him a lot more. I don't know that much about him, I must admit. I know a little
Jimmy
about
Nail?
Him. Not Jimmy Nail, but a similar Geordie icon.
Okay.
Mr. Malcolm McDonald.
Oh.
Against Cyprus in 1975. Obviously before
from
my time.
Orange.
Yeah, he scored 5 goals in one match.
That's
all
not
of the goals.
Not a hat-trick.
All of the goals. And they, you
well,
sort of talk.
It was.
Yeah, there's a hat trick in there.
Luke's favourite saying that it might be Luke's, it might not be Luke's, but Luke once said there's no pictures on the score sheet. And yeah. This couldn't be truer in this case because Kevin Keegan practically scores 2 of them and he's brilliant. And yeah. Malcolm McDonald scored, I think he scored about 4 with his head.
Yeah.
And they were all like on underneath the bar, basically. Yeah, they were
you've
so
put
easy.
Them away, though. You've got to put them away.
I could have scored them goals. I could. I'm saying that right
you
now.
You wouldn't
Malcolm
have had the
McDonald.
Positional sense, would you?
I probably wouldn't. Well, if I'd camped out there. Well, considering they were all scored from the same place, I would have. If I'd seen it, I would have just stood there for ages. But yeah, I mean, 5 in one match, you can't go wrong.
Who was that against?
Cyprus.
Cyprus. That's right. Yeah.
Uh-huh. James or Jim?
Mine seems quite dull now, but I'm going to go for Michael Owen against Germany.
Oh, it's not dull at all.
Such an iconic game.
It's not dull at all.
Searing, wasn't it? It was brilliant. It was a brilliant all-round performance. And
James, it cemented our position as the best team in the world. Well, we'll agree on that.
Yeah.
Something we haven't relinquished since.
And we're still better than Germany. That's
indeed,
better than that 4-1 stuffing they gave us on the world stage, wasn't it?
Exactly,
Someone say aggregate score.
No, no. I hate it.
Yes.
Yeah, good one. Go on, sorry.
It was just glorious, wasn't it? I remember the day, so it was like a mate of mine's birthday as well. It was just like a perfect day coming together.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I spent it with you, England.
and one thing worth remembering on that game is England actually went a goal down as well.
Yeah, of course, really early on.
Carsten Janka scored.
Because Owen's second one was actually Khan should have done a bit better.
So we should have had Jens in there.
He should have had Jens, but his third one was a lovely finish where he ran through and slotted into the roof of the net.
Textbook Owen, that was.
Indeed.
Marcus.
I'm going to go for...
Sorry, I wanted to try your role for a bit.
That's very kind of you.
I don't like it.
Stick
Rabble
with it.
Role.
Yeah. It's not a classic one. Peter Crouch. In a friendly against Trinidad and Tobago. 6-0.
Jamaica, wasn't it?
Oh, was it Jamaica?
It was Jamaica.
Yeah, of course it was. Sorry, Trinidad
and
Tobago.
It was Old Trafford, wasn't it?
Forgive me, Trinidad and Tobago.
That's where he did the robot dance, is that right?
That's the one. That is the one.
Trinidad and Tobago was the group game
that's
in the
right,
tournament.
Of course,
yes, in which he like really badly fouled that guy by like pulling back on his dreadlocks to get some leverage to head of the
can't really remember that, James.
Sorry, James. Where are you from again?
Yeah.
England, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Essex, in England.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one where he fouled the defender. Yeah, he missed a penalty for his hat-trick. He was on 2, he had a penalty, and I think he tried to dink it down the middle, and it just sort of floated over the bar, if I remember correctly. And then he did complete his hat-trick, I was very pleased, and he did that silly robot dance.
But the thing with Peter Crouch is, no matter how many goals he scores, and I know this, he played for the club I support for a long time, and he's got a great scoring record for England, and he always did okay at Pompey the first time and the second time. You never think he's going to do anything good, though, because of the way he looks.
It's true.
Well, the reason I say that is because when you just said, and he missed a penalty for his hat-trick. I almost involuntarily recoiled at the thought of Peter Crouch taking a penalty. What?
This doesn't look right.
That's like 2 crossbars going at it.
I'm not going to have Peter Crouch. I'm going to have Theo Walcott away to Croatia.
Yeah, okay, fine.
That genuinely made me very happy because it is really nice when you see a player from your club score a hat-trick for England or, you know, score for England at all, but it was just great. I remember Ian Wright scoring in that embarrassment against San Marino as we got a hat-trick there, and it was like...
You're an Arsenal fan then?
Yeah.
That was the home leg. Was that a home leg?
Well known.
Because we hammered them twice, didn't we?
It wasn't a leg, it was the group, it was a home. It was the home game.
We had to win by 7 goals, and Holland had to lose, wasn't it? And I think it was 9 seconds in where Stuart Pearce did a terrible back pass to David Seaman, and he got caught out.
It was 1-0.
Awful, absolutely awful.
It was 1-0. Luke Moore's got the points.
I told you.
Yeah, I love it. How we did very well there, not to mention a certain Jeff Hurst in that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, England beat Bulgaria 4-0. Now, at the time of recording, of course, we haven't seen the Switzerland game.
No.
So, but we'll talk about briefly. Luke and I were there.
Yes, not together, separately.
Different parts of the stadium.
The Switzerland game or the Bulgaria game?
No, the Bulgaria game, yeah.
You've got something planned for me, James.
Get this, James. We were there at different parts of the stadium and the result was the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. What are the chances of that?
Rooney had a hand in...
Did he set up all of the goals?
He had a hand, yes.
In all of them, yeah. He definitely had a hand in all of them. I was at Club Wembley,
yeah.
Which is the one where you go and get a meal beforehand, and I was sat...
I was with the punters.
Yeah, you were. You've not sold out.
Missed the first half, did you?
No, I didn't know. I watched the whole game, but I was sat four seats down from Andy Cole and Mark Bright.
Oh, nice.
And Mark Bright did not stop talking.
Oh, that would annoy me so much.
You know what,
he's a terrible
But the trouble is, Andy, that Defoe, he scored there, but he should have had another one, and Rooney's...
And Andy Cole's just gone, outstanding.
No, but what happened was, Mark Bright, for the first half at least, was talking about football. The second half, golf.
Really?
It's just golf the whole time, But apart from that, it was a very enjoyable experience.
Good. Pete, what did you think of Jermaine Defoe?
I thought he looked... It's funny how he's not been having the greatest of starts to the season, weirdly. I know there's only been a couple of matches, but he looked really he looked really sort of calm and assured, and when he knows where the net is. And what was that? Who mentioned that he was as good as David Villa? Does that quote?
Oh, God.
Ian Wright.
Ian Wright started the piece by saying, he's one of my best mates, and then he went, he's as good, if not better, or something, than David
He said
Villa.
He's as good as David Villa, and he's getting better.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's
which
exact
I think
quote,
wonderful.
But we were talking, Marcus, weren't we, saying that, you know, Bulgaria, I think they sort of were a bit scared of Wembley, weren't they? They could have been more direct. They could have gone down the right a lot more.
Well, why would you not put Petrov one-on-one with Glenn Johnson?
Down the left side.
They seem to come down England's left all the time and running into James Milner and Ashley Cole, which is
Milner was superb.
They're much tougher.
We look good. And, you know, we say this when the pressure's sort of off. We're good.
So what you're saying, Pete, is England are good at home when the pressure's off against a quite poor team.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm. Yeah. Well, obviously there was a lot of talk before the game as well about Capello not changing the team around that much. But I think it's worth pointing out that James Milner's very new as an international, and he still needs time to bed in. Obviously it was Jagielka and Dawson in the centre-back roles, and that's, you know... Yeah. I mean, obviously everyone thought it was going to be Upson, and there was a change and an unfortunate injury to Dawson. But I think, you know, you've got to do these things gradually.
Mm. Yeah,
and I mean, fair play to him.
Yeah, I thought. I mean, you can't argue with a 4-0 start. Although I thought it was actually a flattering win, to be honest.
Well, Bulgaria was still worse than I thought it'd be, though.
Yeah, but I mean, they should have made it 1-1 at.
It was a good save from Hart, wasn't it?
But yeah, yeah. But Joe Hart looks the part, though, doesn't he?
Very much
that one-handed save that he did. Yeah. Wonderful.
We started the move for a goal, didn't he?
Yeah. It's funny, because he said very recently that he's forever grateful to Birmingham City and Alex McLeish, because he wouldn't have played nearly as much as Man City did at Birmingham last season.
Yeah, of course.
And as a young player, he's gone straight in the England side, he looks to the business, he's had a brilliant season at Birmingham, he's getting matches. A lot of these young players aren't getting matches, and he said, just playing, this was for Birmingham, of course, just playing really helped me grow as a keeper. Not necessarily being better at doing certain things, but just being a keeper, someone's keeper, and being a part of a team.
Mm. Yeah.
It's
a brilliant point.
Hopefully the same thing will happen for Ben Foster, but I think what's interesting is, for a long time, you know, we've been saying we've not had a goalkeeper playing at an English club at a high level. Suddenly Joe Hart goes out on loan and does well, suddenly City are a major player, and we've got that. I mean, he will probably play for City for years to come, and hopefully England as well. So it's a really positive move, which has just happened out of nowhere.
Well, one thing that in this Club Wembley thing, you have a meal beforehand, and there was
you're still talking about the food. Well, no. have you just been thinking about that?
We've just been talking about Joe Hart.
I brought the menu in with me. I'm going to take you through it.
It's worth
mentioning, because there was a talk by Mark Bright and Andy Cole.
Okay.
Mainly Mark Bright. Yeah, exactly, yeah. And Mark Bright said something which struck me as a bit odd. And if I cared, I would have said something about it. But it was they talked about Joe Hart, because Jake Humphries, you know Jake Humphries, does the F1, he presented it, and he was saying, and they took you through the lineup, and he said, oh, Joe Hart, what do you think of him? And Mark Bright went on a massive one about how he remembers vividly going to a Manchester City Academy game, seeing Joe Hart and thinking he was brilliant. And I was thinking, he wasn't in the Manchester City Academy, he played for Shrewsbury. But he played like 60 games for Shrewsbury and signed for them in like a few years ago. And I really wanted to say, sure, are you sure that's right? But I didn't say anything.
I wish you had.
Everyone else just nodded.
Yeah.
But it is encouraging.
The same thing, undoubtedly.
Yeah. Hopefully. But it is encouraging to think that he could easily be the keeper if he stays in form and stays fit for the next 10 years or something.
Now, talking of academies.
Oh, yeah.
What are academies based around?
Love.
coaching.
Yes.
Oh.
Love as well, Pete. Yes. It's very important.
Love and coaching.
Yeah.
Mainly coaching, if not all.
Love and coaching, the Paul Ince story.
There are other books available.
Yeah. It's my book of the week.
Is that right? Yeah. Luke and I were down in Bristol for the weekend.
Yes.
I was about to say it wasn't romantic, but there were mild moments. But
that's the love.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But it was to observe and participate in the UEFA
B license. Yeah.
You got one then?
Don't tell me you got an A license and I only got a B.
Well, I've got the A game.
No, we went there for a weekend to observe. I mean, I think it's a 6-week course in total. For a weekend to observe, and there are there's some good old characters there.
They're wonderful people.
Really nice. And one of the main guys there who was taking this B license was a guy called Chris Morris. Not the day to day Chris Morris, but the guy who played right back for Republic of Ireland in the '90s.
Disappointing.
Now I've got to say that everyone on the course differing abilities, different ages. You know, some might just be Sunday football managers coaching kids, whatever.
Yeah, but this guy, Chris, he played
right back
in World Cup 90 against Baggio, Donadoni, Van Basten, and Rijkaard van Holland.
He played in all Ireland's games
with McGrath and all these guys. Yeah. And so we had to do these training drills, right? And so what they did is what they were doing at this particular weekend was everyone who'd taken the time over the weeks to put their coaching drill together, they were acting them out with us as the players. And so they set the bins
God
up.
Help them.
Yeah, well, they set the bins
my
up.
Player is faulty.
But the thing is, they set the bibs out, and this Chris Morris guy was like, "Oh yeah, I'll go play."
So what they do is you start off with a couple of defenders, and the ball would always start there. And they would play it into the midfield. So you'd have, say, three defending midfielders and four attacking midfielders. And then you'd have four defenders, back four, and two attacking strikers. And so the drill would start from the back. Say, right, knock it out to the wide man. Off you go. Wide man would get it, knock inside to the midfielder. And the guy who was doing that particular, right, stop there. And it was very stop-start. Right. And I think this is kind of how Roy Hodgson does things. Because people say it's very formulaic and very all about shape, as was this. So the ball would come inside to perhaps midfield, for example, right, stop there. And he would say, right, who have you got on? And he would look at the options. Where are you standing? Right, you need to. And he would physically move people.
And they do it over and over again. And it's apparently the guys who run the course were telling us, I do it all over Europe.
Yeah.
Do it over and over again until you can practically do it in your sleep. You know where you've got to be when the ball's in a certain position.
That's right.
But when you get given the positions to play,
exactly. You because it's not a professional license, you wouldn't be. You could just play wherever you want.
Yeah, well, so you just go and get the bibs, and they say they want you. They sometimes want certain players in certain positions. So they'd get a left if they were working on crosses from the left.
Yeah.
They'd get a guy with a good left foot to put the crosses in.
Yeah.
But other than that, you can pick where you want. So as soon as this Chris Morris guy picked up his bib to play centre back, I'd leg it over and get a bib play centre back next to him. Marcus would get the attacking striker's bib so we could play up front of him and ask him loads of questions about Marco van Basten. and every time the ball came over, this Chris guy, he was a lovely, lovely man.
Oh yeah.
Heard the ball away, I'd be going, "You well in, Chris? Well done, son." And I hope he'd do the same for me as well. It was so funny.
Yeah, because there was one bit where Luke was in goal, Chris was centre back, and I was right back. And all the time, when he'd be like, "Yeah, good call, Marcus." Yeah, and I'm like,
"That's amazing."
It's nothing.
Yeah.
And all I could hear sometimes when I was like standing around him would just be Marcus going, "So yeah, what was it like to play against like Baggio and that?" And this Chris guy was going, "Yes, it was tough. It was really tough."
No, he was happy to talk about
like
it.
trying to do your job while. The man is talking to you.
But Chris van Basten, he was a player, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was classic.
I like to think you were running it in with the ball when you were saying this.
No, it was excellent, though.
It was good. Good weekend.
But it was funny, we were talking to the three guys who were running the course.
FA employees, you know.
That's right. Yeah. About the FA and whatnot. And they were telling us how the FA have cut Trevor Brooking's budget for the coaching quite drastically.
10 million or so, isn't it? It's quite a...
It is 10 million. One thing I learned from talking
to them... That's pounds, by the way.
Yeah. One thing I learned from talking to them is that, you know, it's not actually that the coaching in this country is particularly bad per se, because the UEFA course is all across Europe.
Yeah.
It's just the funding for it and the amount of people that do it because of the funding is small, because the FA spend their money on other things like Wembley. And he was telling me that instead of spending a certain amount of millions they had put aside for coaching a few years ago, they took the money out of that and they gave it all to the clubs, the big clubs, and said, "We'll give you this money if you play more of your big name players in the FA Cup, because we want to sell the FA Cup rights overseas and want to get more money for it and stuff." So they've had their coaching budget slashed over and over again. And these guys, who do an amazing job, I mean, they're all ex-pros, good lads. One played pro in Germany for a long time. Another guy was a Bristol City professional. They're older, 60s now.
And played a bit in New Zealand. You had to.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, one of the guys playing New Zealand. Yeah, and so, but what was happening was they were saying that, you know, we can't even, they won't even pass this full time. They won't even pay it. We do our weekends, we give up our weekends, we drive around here. And he said it's absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane.
Well, also, though, in the southwest region, as the regions are divided amongst the sort of football associations and local associations or whatever it was, in the southwest region, which is huge actually, it's not really southwest, it's more
it's Dorset to Cornwall up to Gloucestershire, right. It's like the whole corner of the country,
huge. The left wing of the country,
yeah, basically.
And they employ
two full-time members of staff
to cover that whole region.
Shocking.
It's crazy, isn't it?
This is the other FAs in Europe would love to have a fifth of the money that the English FA
had and spent.
Absolutely obscene.
But anyway, it was a good weekend. We should thank everyone for letting us come along as well.
Yeah, no, they were marvellous people, all of them. Yeah. Every single one.
Yeah.
And a good time is had by all.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in international football, we talked a bit about England there. Wales lost away to Montenegro, 1-0.
Toshak might even well have left by the time this show comes out. Yeah. It looks like he's really on the brink.
Much like Robbie Savage's liking.
Yeah, yeah.
I see Bobby Gould says that he should go. Bobby Gould's piping up.
He's thinking of everyone. The thing is, with Toshak, is that he's probably just been there for too long now. I mean, he's got
6 years,
isn't
it? And it's his second stint.
Yeah, he's got great experience. I mean, he's managed Real Madrid and stuff.
They could have been 4-0 up, though, to be fair. Points.
I didn't see the game.
Church did hit the bar, and I think Bellamy missed a bit of an easy shot. But that is it. Vucinic, the forward. He's decent.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, yeah. He's the guy when he scored that important goal for Roma, season ago, I think. He took all his clothes off, apart from his pants.
Wow.
Started running around the running track, celebrating. Really,
that is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Northern Ireland, a fantastic win in Slovenia.
Yes,
1-0. That really is brilliant. That was a good result for anybody.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You know, so
Craig Cathcart, he did this amazing bit of work, really strong work in the left corner, and just kind of managed to fizz it in. Wonderful.
And the boy who scored is a Man United player, isn't he? But he's never played for him.
Corey Evans.
Yeah. He just come on.
And that's a vital win, because, I mean, Northern Ireland are in the same group as Italy and Serbia. Group of death, does someone say?
Well, Slovenia qualified for the World Cup.
That's what I'm saying. You know, you've got three teams in there.
You've got to talk about Altintop's goal for Turkey.
Which group is Turkey? We're moving on to that shortly, but we haven't moved on from that group, because we've got to mention Italy coming from behind to win in Estonia 2-1. Who got the equaliser, James or Jim?
It was Antonio Cassano.
He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
He set up the winner within about 3 minutes.
That was a lovely flick.
The wedding's been done. He's ready to come back and play international football.
I read a quote from Cassano that somebody posted on our Facebook fan page wall, which you should get over to, because it's very, very lively. Which is something about how he said, like, 3 years ago, I decided I should either take my job seriously or go and sell salami.
Yeah, that's the only option you've got.
He's only been trying for 3 years.
It's always something to fall back on. Salami.
But the thing is, though, James, if that counts, if saying you're refusing to go to the World Cup, whatever happens, it counts as trying. I don't want to see what he was like beforehand. Yeah.
Well, he said even if he was going to be picked for the World Cup, he was getting married during the tournament. Yeah. So wasn't it? Who married him?
It's the equivalent. It's the equivalent of going up to like a birthday party invitation to a kid at junior school and going, yeah, you know these birthday party invitations you put around. Don't bother inviting me because I'm not going to come.
You're not invited
anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Scotland drew 0-0 away in Lithuania.
I really want Scotland to be good.
It's
not half as much as the Scots.
No.
They're in a group with Czech Republic and Spain. So you look at that and you think,
it's a tough one. Unfortunately, Mark,
that's really tough. You know,
when you've got Czech Republic and Spain in your group, games against Lithuania, home and away, you need to win.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's like a chance. Trouble,
you've got to rely on essentially this Czech Republic slipping up
there. Or taking points off Spain and vice versa.
They've really, really got to sort it out.
Well, who knows. Ireland won 1-0 in Armenia. I think that's a decent result. People going, oh, they only won 1-0. Hang on.
Win's a win.
That's the kind of place where England goes.
Keith Fye. Keith Fye scored.
Didn't he go to a wedding like hours before?
Did he?
Something like that. His cousin was getting married or something like that. So he was at the wedding for a bit and then he went off. And
is this not a Stephen Ireland? I was at a wedding.
Almost as odd as why I just did a Northern Ireland accent for an Irish player. But anyway.
And the Irish, of course, are in a group with Russia and Slovakia, most notably.
I think Ireland have got a chance.
Yep.
I'd love to see one of the other home nations. I don't suppose you really can count Ireland amongst them, but I would still love to see
home nations
in
Wales. Yeah,
anybody in the Euros as well.
Of course.
Assuming we get there.
Yeah, I was going to say let's make sure we do first, and then we can hope everybody else does. Germany won 1-0 in Belgium. That is a great result for Germany. Closer scored.
Belgium have got a good young team.
They do, and hopefully they've sorted themselves out, because there was a lot of unrest in that proverbial dressing room.
Was it? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, with a lot of the young players.
Dutch-esque.
Was it worse? I think it was worse.
Because there's a lot of young players in that squad.
Yeah,
it was. So it seems like they've got no sort of anchor.
Yeah.
I really want to, I will do this. I'll do some reading around the amount of good young players Belgium started to use. It's like going back to like the mid 80s, late 80s with your Koolemans and your Schiffos and stuff. Enzo, they've got some great players coming through. One of them's just signed for Fulham, of course.
That's right, yeah. They're in the group with Turkey.
Yeah.
Are you wanting to talk about the goal of the season so far?
It is the goal of the season.
Well, it's
so
either
far.
That or Blackpool's goal for Varney.
This goal, if you've not seen it, for me...
Varney's goal for Blackpool, should I say.
Yeah. It's one of the best goals I've seen in a long, long time. Yeah.
I'm saying it's better than Zidane's.
It's one of those... You need to see it from a certain angle to appreciate how good it is.
Yes. The way he arcs his body and manages to shape...
Is someone going to describe the goal for
it's out in top for Turkey against Kazakhstan, their second goal. Ball comes over from the left-hand side corner. It's a corner. Comes over to the right-hand side of the penalty area, and on the full, he takes over his shoulder and smashes it on the volley into the top corner.
It's the perfect hit.
But it sort of curls into the right-hand top corner, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's just wonderful.
The way he gets over it, you expect it to go into the ground, but it doesn't, because it's so true and smash.
It's up there with Pippo's goal from last week, which he can rest into the top corner.
And when you see the truth, Pete, you know you have.
Yeah.
They've been having a shocking time of late, and it's only got even more shockinger. Belarus beat France in France, 1-0. James.
I mean, I said at the time when they banned all the players for that friendly, this is just going to make it carry on for longer.
You said this isn't the best idea.
An absolute farce, and so it's. I think that's probably had an effect. They haven't had that chance.
It's pronounced France, so.
It's just...
Belarus will make marvellous scenes there.
Yeah, they'll be loving that.
But
yeah.
France, I mean...
That was a late-ish win. I think it was like 85.
You'd still expect a young French side to...
You would do. But you have got some more
players. Yeah, but if you looked at that team that France put out...
I looked them in the eye.
You could choose another French player, well-known and better, who could have played. Mm. And they haven't played.
To be honest, though, no, they've had a lot of injuries. They've had, like, a lot of injuries and suspensions. Obviously, Anelka's been partially retired, basically. They're put out to pasture, but... So obviously, yeah, they do have their problems in terms of who they can select. But you've got to be beating Belarus at home, surely, especially after the absolute slaughtering they've been taking in the press. And
there's got to be a reaction from the players.
I mean, they've got to address this slump soon, because it's clearly endemic, and rather than being sort of just a little sort of slump in form. Like they could not qualify.
Well, you know, France
after
often,
one game, that's a huge thing to say.
Yeah.
But, like, the state they're in.
France often have these funny results, you know, and they manage to get through.
But if you take into account their World Cup games as well, they've lost a lot of games there last.
But this could be the one where they actually don't qualify, as you're saying.
Well, Laurent Blanc cut a forlorn figure at the end of that game.
Oh, I bet he did. The other funny result for me was Portugal 4, Cyprus 4.
For everyone, Marcus.
For you. Well, I represent the views of Great Britain.
The opening goal for Cyprus, the lob, was just epic. there was about three or four goals that could have been goals of the season. Almeida's like sort of backwards diving header. it was Fernandez, isn't it?
Yeah,
the pinger, their last goal. He hammered it. It was beautiful.
They were 4-3 up, and Cyprus scored in the last minute, didn't they?
It's like Cyprus have used up all their goals for.
I prefer that about the Cyprus fan.
You go away to Portugal and Portugal score 4. You think, well, we're not getting anything out of this.
It was a lovely moment when their forward Constantinou, I think his name is, he was one on one with the keeper, and the keeper came on so quickly he put it the other side of the keeper, he put it to the right and ran to the left and ran round and slammed
it. Did he? Nice.
Palais-esque.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Palais-esque
against Newcastle.
Yeah. Right, well, that was all the international football. Of course, there'll be some more very, very soon, but it hasn't been played as we're talking. But there has been some transfers. And so let's talk about them. The window's shut. Boom. There it is. I think it's going to be lovely having Asamoah Gyan playing in the Premier League.
Although it does...
What a bargain.
It kind of worries me. What was it, £13 million?
Yeah,
that's quite
Sunderland,
a lot.
Sunderland spending £13 million just to sort of, like, get by. Do they really have ambitions of Europe?
Are you surprised that... that Sunderland and Wren dealing with each other, there's a figure of £13 million between those two clubs.
But you know, Sunderland do have a bit of money, and they have sold Kenwyn Jones.
Yeah, it's very true. But the thing is, Sunderland, you don't really they don't really strike me as a club that are likely to get into the Europa League. And obviously they're going to be pushing for that.
Yeah.
It's just sort of worrying that you have to spend that sort of money.
It is a lot of money.
I know what you're saying. But Jan is a good player.
Yeah, he's good at all. They've got a great player there.
Him and Ben.
Young as well.
Him and Ben could get a lot of goals this season. I mean, I'll set myself up for a fall by saying he'll be good in the Premier League. But he's one of those players who, to me, looks like he's got all the tools. But I said that about Voronin, so.
Well, Andy Brassel, who's obviously a sort of journalist who's very, very knowledgeable about French football, said to me once that the French league is actually a very sort of good stepping stone to the Premier League
because it's very physical. Similar.
Yeah, it's very, very fast,
and fast,
very physical.
Physical, yeah.
So, you know, it tends to be the case that players coming from the French league do well.
No, I agree with that. I agree with that principle, definitely, from what I've seen.
Good luck to Jan.
Well, just as well, because Fraser Campbell had a bad injury. He's out for, I reckon, about 6 months for that knee injury he picked up against Man City.
It's a ligament thing, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, yeah. Another good signing, Spurs getting Van der Vaart.
Yeah.
Yeah,
£8 million.
A good signing because he's a great player, but I don't know where they're going to play.
Yeah. Well, Redknapp was saying, wasn't he? He's like, well, yeah, you know, like sort of last day of the season, the chairman was saying, do you want him? We've got the money for him. He's like, well, yeah, you know, maybe we can do something. Maybe we can do something. I hate the way he talks about transfers. Like,
are you a wheeler dealer, Harry?
No.
The great thing is, you can quote Redknapp without offending anyone because he doesn't actually say the F word. He says FAC. FACK.
This is a cool stuff.
This is a lot of a cant.
Yeah.
This was when Rob Palmer, was it Rob Palmer?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Said, yeah, you've made your name as being a bit of a wheel and dealer. Wheeler and dealer, Harry. And he went, nah, man, just
well, if I may, what he should have said
then. I'm an effing football manager.
Well, when Palmer said that, and Redknapp said, nah, I'm a football manager, Palmer should have just gone, well, no, you have.
Yeah. instead of what he did go was, oh, Harry, don't be like that.
he did say that.
But he didn't mean it as an insult. And the way he meant it was very clearly a compliment on his ability in the transfer market.
Harry, you have. So can I get to my question, please?
Yeah, like Barry Fry, but quite successful.
Yeah,
I mean, try and buy everyone every summer.
Someone else who's also done that is Sam Allardyce, is a bit of a wheel and dealer. Mm. Just ironic that off the field, we'll leave it there.
Yeah. The thing is, though, is them making a deal out of it. No, I don't think for one second Rob Palmer was trying to offend him by saying that.
No.
Yeah, you have. You've spent your career dining out on that sort of thing.
Can I quote you as Team Palmer?
I'm Team Palmer in this game. Yeah. I like
Print
Rob Palmer.
The t-shirt.
Might as well face it, you're addicted to love.
Yeah, exactly. He loves his Spanish football. He's a good commentator as well, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's got a lot of strings to his bow, Rob Palmer.
What a bow it is. Stoke have made some signings. Mm. Ida Good Johnson, Mark Wilson and Jermaine Pennant.
And Kenwyn Jones as well.
And Kevin Jones.
I'm happy that
decent signings there.
Pompey got
Jermaine Pennant.
Yeah, good.
I love Good Johnson. I think he still do a job.
Yeah. Good Johnson. I got Pompey got Dave Kitson and Liam Lawrence out of that.
Did Tim try to move
not
on?
Not too bothered about Pompey.
Well, come on, I am.
They need every man they can get. can you breathe? You're in.
Did he start Stoke? We were talking about going.
No, Tim try still at Stoke.
I think he is.
It's a decent forward line they've got there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Don't make no bones about it, James. Manchester's favourite adopted son, Rubinho's moved to Milan.
Has there been a parting shot, perchance, Martin?
Do you know what there is? He claimed that Mark Hughes or Mancini understood him. Or his mother, for that matter. He said, perhaps they only believed in the sporting side of things, but that wasn't enough for me. I am Brazilian and I can't offer my best performances if I'm not happy in every aspect of life. Diva. I am a special footballer and I need to be happy when I'm playing. That was the case at Real Madrid, but never at City. I thought he was unhappy at Real Madrid, hence the move.
Yes.
And then the most offensive thing of all is when he said, Manchester is a sensational venue for football, but an also awful place to live. The winter, the cold and the dark nights, it's very hard for a young Brazilian. So he so he slagged off a couple of managers and then he's gone for the whole city.
Well, and not only that, the climate. I mean, I presume he's got an iPhone because most rich people have iPhones.
Can he work?
There's an app called the Weather App, right?
Yeah. Just type comes
in
with
Manchester.
It comes with it.
Yeah. Just click on it, find out what the weather's like.
Yeah.
It's funny because, especially as he mentions Real Madrid there, because he was clearly unhappy at Madrid.
Well, he was making a lot of noise, wasn't he? About
Only towards the end.
He wanted to go to Chelsea and link up with Scolari.
Yeah.
And City came along. And Real were almost. It felt a bit like a Merkin.
Yeah.
It's always become like a sort of Robbie Keane style figure. Just keeps getting shunted around, you know. Just obviously at sort of much higher scale. But
Keane's quite a likable bloke and works hard. Yeah, I've met Robbie Keane. Lovely fella.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah, I've not met him.
That one piece of anecdotal evidence. Yeah.
What more concrete evidence do you need? I rest my case. Yeah, so he's gone to Milan.
Who else has gone to Milan?
Well, obviously Zlatan has. Talking of parting shots, as if the man hadn't had enough, he had another dig at Pep Guardiola. He said, in my book, a great coach solves his problems. A small-time coach runs from them. Is he really calling Guardiola a small-time coach?
Call it Zlatan.
he should have been on the UEFA B thing.
I have an email regarding Zlatan.
Oh, do you? Well, I'll just finish off with he said that he had his problems. He's never had problems with the coaches before.
That's not true. And,
he said, but suddenly I had 1,000 problems and I had no communication with the philosopher. I love how he calls Guardiola the philosopher.
That's what everyone calls him. It's his nickname, yeah.
Is it? Oh, I thought it was Zlatan being dismissive of it.
No. He is definitely still doing it. That.
Oh, he probably is. When you said that, I thought he was going to break into a Jay-Z song.
Yes, James, sorry.
So, okay, I heard your Ibrahimovic quote about Zlatan's wedding gift, which in fact was an engagement gift to his girlfriend he had way back. I don't know if you've heard any of the other famous Zlatan one-liners, so here's a sample of them.
This is an email, by the way.
Who's
burst
it from?
Into this?
It's from Ola Hasselgren. I hope that's how you pronounce it.
Hola, Hasselgren.
Okay, so on one of his first away games for the Swedish national team, in the locker room, he said, "Who are we playing?"
Benoit Asuricotto apparently does that.
I had Messi does it sometimes.
Does he?
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. Weird. When he had just signed with Ajax, a newspaper asked him what he would say if he ever became a player for Barcelona and met all the stars for the first time in the locker room, and he said, "Hi, I'm Zlatan. Who the hell are you?"
Oh my God, that's Brian Clough-esque.
I reckon that probably happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so Sweden were playing at San Marino in Zlatan's hometown of Malmo. On the question of why he thought all the tickets were sold out in about 3 hours, he said, "Because I bought them all."
Doesn't even make any sense.
No, just weird. He apparently once said, "Why are they screaming at me? I gave them candy." Finally,
children,
football agents are only to be used by mediocre players. All the big clubs come to me.
Generally went mental when Arsenal asked him to go for a trial.
Yeah, it's, I do not do trials. I am Zlatan. That's thanks for a great show, Ola Hasselgren. Thank you very much. He apparently supports West Ham, Valencia and Malmo.
All right.
Odd choices.
Oh, great stuff.
Yes, we need to pick a Swedish team.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Kenny Pavey.
Oh, okay.
Silly. But other transfers. Huntelaar's gone to Schalke for around 10 million.
Mm. Yeah, link up with Raul.
Scored a hat trick, didn't he, in the internationals?
They beat them on 5-0, didn't they?
Mm. Absolutely. I forgot to say that talking of Guardiola and so on, Jose, his counterpart in.
That's going to be tasty, isn't it?
Very handsome Derby of Spain this year. El Clasico this year.
I loved it when, because he's had a little bit of pressure because they've not had the best start to the season with the 0-0 draw. He said, "Look, I'm a coach. I'm not Harry Potter. He is magical. But in reality, there is no magic. Magic is fiction. Football is real."
It's just shattering the dreams of children.
There was no easy way for me to kind of smoothly put that into the show.
No, you can break it.
I'm going to have to just chuck that one in. I mean, Milan, we've talked a bit about them, but they're going to have in the same team Zlatan, Robinho, Ronaldinho, and Pato. Is there going to be a bit of unrest in the dressing
room? Sadov's going to have to keep them all in check. Can you imagine Sadov cracking the whip?
My goodness. While we're on the subject of transfers, James, Alexander Kleb has gone to Birmingham City.
Great.
Does that annoy you? Because he should really be still playing for Arsenal.
What makes you say that?
Because he's good enough.
Yeah, but I mean, well, I don't know. He did run down a lot of blind alleys. He was exceptional in his last season. He actually used to link very well with Thomas Rosicky as well. But I think it's a great signing for Birmingham. I don't, you know, begrudge him, you know, coming back to the Premier League. Be interesting to see how he does in a different kind of team, because obviously the way Birmingham and Arsenal players are very different. It was a terrible move for him in the end, wasn't it? He's just been shunted around Europe. Here he is. He should have had that ice cream with the guys from Inter and gone there.
Yep.
Weird move. I don't know. But McLeish deserves some credit for that, I think.
Yeah.
Getting a sort of, you know, Barcelona player on loan, whoever they are. It's great.
Yeah. He's doing well. Blackpool manager, Ian Holloway. Apparently they just missed out on signing David Nugent.
Yeah, because I turned Nugent's phone off, that's why.
Did you not want him going there?
No, he's not going. He's still in. Too far away, isn't he? It's too far away.
That's right, because apparently he wasn't answering his phone.
Yeah.
Holloway said that with 20 minutes to go, they had Nugent signed on. He was there. He was their player. But no one could locate him, so he couldn't sign his contract, and it all fell through.
Stupid.
Absolutely crazy.
Holloway was on the court, did that course that we were on.
That's right, yeah.
And he apparently, because apparently he got offered the Hearts job. And he was ready to accept it. This is obviously because he had a year out of the game, Holloway, before he was at Blackpool, obviously. And he accepted the Hearts job.
Right.
And apparently in Scotland, you need to have your A licence to manage. And he didn't have it. So he couldn't take the job. They had to give it to someone else. And so he went down and did this course.
So he's
a really nice guy.
I mean, I don't know how this works, but obviously, if they had everything done bar being able to speak to David Nugent, and Tottenham could still sign Van der Vaart after the transfer window had shut, and the same thing happened with Arsenal when they signed Chavin, it was afterwards.
So but that's different, because what happens is they get a load of things for at the same time and have to work through them. So as long as the paperwork's received by the deadline, they go through them afterwards, and they get so much that it takes a while to get through them all and check them off.
The work permit.
That's definitely what happened with the Chavin one. The work permit's involved as well. Chavin didn't get formally announced till like 24 hours afterwards, did he? I think Van der Vaart was a little bit sort of short of time in that, but that's basically the reason. But so Nugent wouldn't have been able to sign, so he wouldn't have been able to get the paperwork through because it wasn't done, basically.
Well, I mean, presumably he knew nothing about the move, did he? I mean, if you've got I mean, I'm a notable I'm a man who notably doesn't have his phone on ever. And you guys have been at the brunt of that. But I mean, if there's one day a year or 2 days a year,
you keep it on. Well, Ben Johnny did the same last year. Ben Johnny slept through 2 flights up to Manchester, didn't he? Crazy.
Dear, oh dear. Well, we've talked a bit about coaching badges and licences and so on. Do you reckon El Diego had one?
I'm going back to Diego Corner.
You're not. Yeah.
I am, yeah.
It's almost as if I knew that.
Yeah. He's piped up.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Luke Moore is in Diego Corner, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, I don't want a man such as Diego to celebrate a 50th birthday.
It's you joke.
Unacknowledged by the Football Ramble. It's not happening yet, but it's coming up.
I think of him as being like hundreds of years old. No, well, some sort of deity.
He's 49.
He's got a sort of realistic age.
He'll live forever.
I thought you were going to say, you know, well, he's 47, but he's just letting everybody know that there's a big build up to the 50th.
Yeah. Well, basically, he's piped up and said that he wants to have his 50th birthday with a game and a celebration at Stadio San Paolo, which is Napoli stadium, where he obviously spent a long time and also a very successful time.
And what he wants, he gets.
But I was reading this story and thinking, oh, this is all very nice and stuff. And he did win things there, and he did well for them. He was there and captained them and stuff, and when they had their most sort of successful period in their history. But he was talking about it was through such rose-tinted spectacles, like it was a literal Garden of Eden, that I thought I'd better have a little word with him, because he said, my only desire is to return to Napoli so I can once again embrace the perfect city and all this stuff. There are things that remain inside of you, and that time can never erase. He's like, you turn into like John Keats or something. I spent the most beautiful and pleasant part of my existence at Napoli, and I still have many friends there. So he's trying to get all the players back, and he's trying to get Di Laurentiis, the president, to get him up.
If there's one man who could do it.
Well, exactly. But the thing is, and I can't stress enough, he obviously had an exceptionally successful time there.
Mm.
But I just thought I'd run through a few points that happened when he was there that he's not really mentioned.
No.
$70,000 in fines for missing training in matches. excessive cocaine use.
What's excessive now?
He said it was a good time.
Well, on that note, an illegitimate son.
Oh, no.
Unsuitable relationships, in quotes, with Kamora members, who are obviously the local gangsters.
Yeah.
And a small matter, just at the end, just a footnote there, it's probably not worth mentioning, but €37 million in tax loans. Yeah.
But this is the thing.
€23.5 million interest.
Yeah. If you can hear me, Diego, when you turn up, don't wear any jewellery or watches, because they'll take it off you.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? That is how they seem to be claiming their tax money, by just robbing him of everything they can get their hands on when he gets there. So, like, how? If he why does he want it there?
If he turns out on pitch, how much do you pay for those books? Well, I'll have them.
I just like this fact that he's sort of going, I still have lots of friends in Napoli. You see them very often, do you?
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Presumably they come to you then, yeah?
Every time he goes, they nickel his stuff.
Diego, he strikes me as being one of those people that has like a birthday celebration that lasts a week.
Yeah.
You know, like a spoiled rich teenage girl.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Oh, when I have a birthday party, it goes on for days.
My super sweet 16.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Most of the country do that now.
Do they?
Yeah, oh, I know loads of people.
You old man, Marcus.
It's my 30th birthday next week and I'm not doing anything.
No.
No need.
Exactly.
Not bothered.
Exactly.
Speaking of overweight men,
yeah.
Not you. Oh, I meant Diego. If I'd come in earlier.
I'm just coming back from his corner. I'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Bury 5 for Gillingham 4. What a match.
Yes.
Bury. What a match.
I think you mean Bury.
I think he is.
Bury. Well, it's the same for me. Bury.
Home of Andy Gorham, I think.
Is it?
I think Andy Gorham. Well,
my favourite.
Which one?
My new favourite player, Akin Fenwa. Have you seen him before?
Not recently.
I know him, yeah.
He is the fattest man I have ever seen in my life. He scored 2 at the weekend, but he is. You know, like, I remember how big. Like,
is he fatter than Big John Parkin?
He is. Massive.
Yan Mulby fat, or like even fatter than that?
Even fatter than
John
Yan
Barnes
Mulby.
At Charlton.
Fatter than John Charlton.
John Barnes. John Barnes at Strictly Come Dancing.
He's incredibly fat.
Okay.
He's massively fat, and just check him out. Just check him out if you can.
Let's get a picture of him and laugh at him.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Uncle Phil from Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Stop this.
He's the thing is though, he hasn't got a belly on him. He's just huge.
Okay.
He's a giant man.
Right, a giant man.
He enchants me. I just like him. To pick me up and just make everything all right.
Put him on the keeper.
Put you in his other pocket.
Yeah. I've got an email.
Go ahead.
Let's stop talking about fatties. Ramblefoss. Let me set the scene for you. I'm having a bad day at work and think to myself, what could make my day better? I know the Football Ramble podcast.
Oh, thank you very much.
So this person's listening away, getting happier and happier. Then comes the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Hey,
it was Jürgen Klinsmann.
Oh yeah, I remember him. Yeah.
Great. To cut a long story short, I get to the bit when one Lukey Moore basically inferred that it was easy to be a baker, to which I, Steve Hobbs, Maverick Baker from Kent...
It's Steve Hobbs!
...says...
I've incurred his wrath!
What do
Steve
you know...
Hobbs has come to Mercus!
What do you know about studying to be a baker?
Yeah.
Christ, he says.
Oh, he does.
That's it.
And then he puts in a PS...
You don't know what you've done.
This week's ramble roll is chicken, mayo, bacon and pineapple.
Pineapple!
But what Steve I would Hobbs. Say to that is, I wouldn't mind... smashing a few questions at you, if that's all right.
Go ahead.
How to be a baker.
Oh,
this
no,
is
Lukey right Paul, reply.
Lukey
Moo, this.
Lukey Moo is Baker's Dozen, I guess I call it.
I genuinely had no idea about this email.
I know.
He's stunned.
Right.
What did I even say?
I feel
you,
like...
You said that it was... You said that surely you don't have to do any studying to be a baker.
Yeah, you pooed the whole baby.
I made a joke about being a baker with brown hands.
Do you know what, right? At this moment in time, I feel like Hobbs is outside with like a rolling pin or something.
And you all know him by the trail of bread.
Good stuff. Right, question number one, Luke.
Yeah, go ahead.
This isn't from him, this is from me.
Yeah, I know.
How many is in a baker's dozen?
13.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, is that correct or not?
That is correct.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's obviously correct.
One out of one.
Don't clap yourself.
There's three questions.
Okay.
Question number two. What is the active leavening agent of bread?
Yeast.
Correct. We've got two.
What's happening here?
Third question. A Kaiser roll, also known as a Vienna roll, occasionally known as a Kaiser Semmel, has a characteristic star design on the upper side. But which emperor of Austria is it said to commemorate?
I'll go for
Hitler.
No, come on now. I'm going to have to pass that one, Pete, I'm afraid.
Charlie Chaplin.
Well, I'm not going to tell you. That's your homework for the week.
Okay. Oh.
What I will say is 2 out of 3 in your face, Hobbs.
Steve, if you want to send
that's
in your
a pass
own,
grade.
If you want to send in your own set of questions for Luke and see if he passes a real bakery test, then we'll set that up for next week.
You spent a lot of my time in bakery.
God, how has it got to the point where we're quizzing you on food?
I don't know. It's like being back at my mum's.
Dear, oh dear. One little story to finish off the main part of the show, which was it's a lovely one. It's you mentioned Maradona coming, you know, wanting to play another game. Well, Dean Windass put his boots on.
Oh yeah, he's gone
recently.
To play for a.
It was a one-off.
Oh, I thought he was going to play for a local side.
No, it was a one-off. He played. For the Yorkshire Amateurs for the Swans in a 3-1 victory over the Yorkshire Amateurs. Sorry, this is in the Northern Counties East League, which is the league where he started out playing for North Ferriby United. Forgive my mispronunciation. Incredible, isn't it? He's gone back to the league where he started.
I thought he started with Windass
all over. No, it was a favour for the chairman because I think they had no strikers or something like that. They're good mates.
So
he said, all right, I'll come along.
Is that kind of lad?
Yeah, but he also said that it wouldn't be fair if he just came back and played the odd game when he wasn't going to training and whatnot. Mm. You know, he's 41 now, and he's obviously doing a lot of Sky Sports stuff.
Yeah.
So they asked about, you know, blimey, you got a hat trick. And he went, well, did I expect to get a hat trick? Well, something's never changed, did they?
How do the other team feel about this?
Yeah.
So, oh, so you're just allowed like a sort of retired ex-pro for this game, aren't
you? But would you not be happy to mark him? It'd be good, it'd be fun.
I can't ever think that Dinwy Nass plays non-league on, I think it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Or the week before. Yeah. Then suddenly non-league day happens.
Oh, yeah.
The weekend, so.
Coincidence?
Don't think so.
It's funny because he was very pleased with the Yorkshire Amateurs because he said they didn't try to kick me. Wouldn't thought they would.
No, no,
because
you dare
boot them back.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, unbelievable. Apparently the gates shot up. 320 people came along.
That's not bad.
Which is sort of treble the amount usually they get. So marvellous scenes. Windass back on the pitch where he belongs.
Good stuff.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Dean Windass Hall of Fame.
Profile,
as we like to affectionately call it.
Who have we got?
Oh, I've just bent down to pick him up.
Oh.
Dear, oh dear.
And that's so right.
I see everything.
Oh, Gordon. He's a big lad. He's Big Jack Charlton.
Oh, good.
OBE.
Yeah.
Slightly influenced by meeting Chris Morris. I've got to be honest with you.
He was raving about Charlton, wasn't he? Saying he's a good man to play for and stuff.
Yeah. I was nodding as if, well, I remember playing for him. Jack Charlton.
One thing I will say about Jack Charlton is he's much older than I thought he was.
Oh, he is.
You'll tell me how old in a minute, but I'm pretty sure he's a lot older than you think.
Well, I can tell you when he's born.
Well, you don't know how old I think he is.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
He was born 100 years before the Civil War. Surprising.
Yeah. Not true.
Jurassic Charlton.
He was born on May the 8th, actually, 1935.
32 years before the Summer of Love. That makes him 75 years old. I told you. Yeah. How old did you think he was?
You're getting a high five for that, Matt.
Thanks.
Good man. Late 60s, maybe? But he smashed that.
75, James. Mm. So.
Well, he won the World Cup in the late 60s.
Yeah, so he was 31 when he played in the World Cup.
Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't.
Well, he was.
Well, yeah, he definitely was.
Right. He was a minor before he
We were all minors.
I was about down the mines.
Your dad literally was a miner.
Well, I was going to say, in fact, Pete said we were all miners. What do you mean by that?
A lot of my damaged lung family were miners.
It's amazing you could play that vuvuzela. Such lung capacity. No nonsense.
Yeah.
I think when you talk about Jack Charlton, a spade is very much a spade with him.
Yeah.
Can he get the water to the lads?
Yeah, that's it. That was only a matter of time before that came out.
Yeah, well, we're moving on. We'll get there.
A man constantly on a quest for water.
Peter, I promise you we'll get there.
In my head, he's got a dowsing rod on the side.
John Aldridge is involved. Oh.
You're mentioning World Cup 94 way before it's due.
Yeah.
He was a one-club man.
Leeds United?
Yeah.
A lovable Leeds United.
He signed for them when he was 17. And he was a very, very solid, strong defender. Loved a crunching tackle.
Very tall as well.
Very tall indeed.
Time, yeah. 6 foot three or something.
6 foot three.
His neck just kept going and they just drew a face on it for me. Big chubby face. Yeah.
Who's they?
Yeah.
He's like one of those fellas that you see outside garages that are inflated. They go.
Oh, yeah, he does look like that. Yeah. No, the ones that they put the air through. They sometimes have cup finals.
Yeah. He had a famous brother, Bobby.
Bobby Miller.
Bobby John.
Pete. The clue's in the name.
Pete's getting giddy again.
I'm up for this ex Newcastle manager. Come on.
Yes. Yeah, that's it. And what a wonderful time he had there as well. As a youngster playing for Leeds and going through the ranks, he took a lot of inspiration and a lot of lessons from another Leeds United centre-back.
So was he still bald as a 17-year-old?
Yeah,
because I can't picture him anymore.
He was born bald.
Good.
There's a classic picture of him at Leeds and his all-white strip and he's standing behind a few other players training. He's about 23, probably, I'd estimate. Mm-hmm. Completely bald with a comb over, with a fag in his hand.
that is it.
Certain people like that from that area of England of that era just seemed like they were always all old.
Yeah,
always.
Yeah,
never young.
Michael Parkinson.
Imagine him, Bruce Forsyth. Imagine him as a young man.
Brucey,
I know he's not from up north, but imagine him as a young man. You can't do it.
Yeah, even Bobby Charlton, who looks more youthful.
Yeah, exactly.
He learnt a lot from another Leeds United centre back. / striker.
Oh yeah.
John Charles. Charles. Fellow Dean Windass Hall of Fame. And yeah, he played for Leeds throughout his career, 1952 to 1973.
I think he just missed out on when Clough took over. I think he retired the summer that Clough took
over.
Yeah,
he did. He was still John Revie.
Clough was 74.
Well, him and Clough, Leeds would have exploded. The whole city. It would have just been absolutely incredible. Because even Don Revie said, like, called him, you're a bit of an awkward one and so on. It was quite incredible, really, when he was picked to play for England, because he was 29 when he got his first England cap. Everyone was quite bemused by this, even Big Jack himself, to the point of he actually said, he went up to Ramsey, Alf Ramsey, England manager, and Sir Alf Ramsey, should I say, and said, why have you picked me? You know, he asked him. Well, this is the kind of straight talking Jack.
I'll tell you, it was a bit like that. Ashley Cole.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very similar.
You know where you stand with Ashley Cole.
He said,
why did you pick me? And Alf Ramsey said, I don't always pick the best players. I pick the players I need.
Yeah.
I love that. So Ramsey's basically saying, I know, there are the players better than it, but you fit in the system.
In fairness, at the risk of sounding a bit old fashioned, does anyone agree that it's about time England started picking an actual team?
Well, I was about to say.
Rather than a whole group of individuals, you know?
And of course, he was had a centre-back partnership with Bobby Moore.
Yeah.
And Alf Ramsey said, you're a good tackler, you're good in the air, I need all these things. And also, when Bobby goes up the field with the ball, you'll always fill in behind him as cover.
Yeah, that's weird, because I don't know Bobby Moore's statistics, but I know that Jack Charlton scored quite a few goals for Leeds.
Yeah, he did all right, yeah. I think he was about 70 goals.
Yeah, quite a lot of goals for a
certain career.
Yeah. He played. He got 35 caps for England, and he played all the World Cup matches in 66.
He was dropped for. Because they qualified. When they were qualifying for 70, he started to get dropped, I think.
That's right.
And someone else came in for him. I forget what his name was. And then after around that sort of time, I think he decided he didn't want to play for England anymore. He retired.
He had a great game against Portugal in the semi final in 66, quite famous. And they said that was one of his best performances for England. Bill Shankly, back to club football, Bill Shankly tried to sign him a couple of times for Liverpool, and Bill Shankly said he rated him as the best English centre-half he'd seen.
God.
Flipping out. In 67, he was voted Footballer of the Year.
Good for a defender. Don't get defenders winning it very often.
And he made a club record 773 appearances for Leeds before.
There wasn't as many games in either.
That's right.
Great stuff.
Retiring at the age of 37. And he went into management, and he first managed Middlesbrough. It was quite funny when he went to see the Middlesbrough board of directors, because he went in there, sat them down, and the members of the boardroom said, okay, and Jack said, they started asking me questions like it was an interview, and I said, well, hang on a minute, I didn't come here to be interviewed for the job. I came here because I was told you wanted me for the job.
I'll try that next interview I have.
Yeah, that's it. And he brought out a sheet of paper that Don Revie had given him, which listed his responsibilities. And was a bit of a reference, I suppose.
Yeah.
And he said, there you are, put that on the table, walked out. And 15 minutes later, the board came out and gave him the job.
Great stuff. Yeah.
So, it's almost like he was interviewing them.
Yeah. And he got them, didn't he get them promoted as
he
well?
Did,
He did really well.
He did really well for Middlesbrough. Promoted to Division 1. And then he took over at Sheffield Wednesday. He was there for a little while. They were down in the doldrums. I think he survived relegation with them. Went to Newcastle, but didn't really do too well with Newcastle. Had a bit of a poor relationship with the fans. He was only there a year.
Your fault.
Yeah.
You may have only been one. It's your fault.
Knock-on effect. Only takes one bad apple.
I heard that he was doing all right until the literal moment that Pete Donaldson was born. What year were you born? 83?
81.
Oh, so you were two. Oh, fair enough.
He was three.
Doesn't work.
I had more to do with this than I realised.
I thought you were younger than that.
He did sign Gascoigne, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
For Newcastle. Didn't he used to drag Gazza out of the cafes, the local cafes?
He used to tell all the cafe owners not to
sell him cakes
and stuff.
Nice. That's right, yeah.
Nice. It seemed so innocent back then.
If I was a footballer, that sort of thing would definitely happen to me.
And then, of course, ladies and gentlemen, as many people will know, Jack Charlton, in 1986, he became the manager of the Republic of Ireland. And he said he actually went for the vacant England manager's position when Don Revie finished, but he didn't get it. And he wanted to be an international manager, and he would have been quite happy managing any of the home nations.
Oh, but it was quite a bit before he took over at Republic of Ireland, that though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a little bit, yeah. But it was a controversial choice because it was the Republic of Ireland's first non-Irishman appointed.
And then he picked loads of non-Irish players.
Well, but especially, you know, being an Englishman, you know.
Yeah, but you can imagine the FAI board going, I told you this would happen. Look what happens when you get an Englishman. We've got a lot of English players now.
The door's open now. The door's open now.
I apologise, Ireland.
I don't, it's brilliant.
Well, again, the contract negotiations weren't massively dissimilar to what he did at Middlesbrough. He said that, I informed them I didn't want a contract. I would stay for 3 years, which would take us through Euro 88.
That's a contract, surely. That's a verbal contract.
Okay, we'll just write that down. Just so we know.
He said, and into the qualifying rounds of World Cup 90. If either party was dissatisfied at that point, the agreement would end with a handshake. And he said, my first game in charge of the Ireland team, it was a friendly against Wales at Lansdowne Road in March 86. He said, it was notable for three things. Ian Rush got the only goal, Neville Southall got a broken ankle, and I got a reputation for forgetting the names of my own players. Now, apparently he did that quite a bit. But he had some amazing times with Ireland. I mean, he really took them to the level that what they are now. Well, in fact, even beyond that, I mean, they haven't qualified for
quarterfinals of the World Cup. Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, they're 2002.
Of course.
But Euro 88, they did go out in the first round along with England, but they beat England 1-0 on the big stage, which was an absolutely wonderful result for them, you know. Although I can quote Chris Morris as saying that was an absolute mugging.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah. But they got the win, you know.
You're obsessed.
And in World Cup 90, they had a wonderful time, didn't they, really?
Drew one dreamland stuff.
One all in the first game against England. Great goal from Kevin Sheedy. Then drew with the Dutch, and then drew with Egypt. But they went through. And then
that was a tight group because the only reason that England, because it was a weird the way it worked, but England, Ireland, and Holland all went through.
Yeah.
And England went through top because they beat Egypt, and Egypt went out. It's so tight. All the games were draws up to that point.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Ireland actually didn't win a game at that whole tournament. They drew then with Romania.
Beat them on penalties.
And won on penalties. I remember watching that.
David O'Leary scored the winner.
Yeah.
Sunk to his knees, didn't he?
That's right. Yeah. It was really odd because I remember watching it and I was thinking, my goodness, this is. I think it was one of the first penalty shootouts I have in my memory, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But apparently, Charlton said, "Oh, it was so intense." Jack Charlton said to the players, "He went right, just sort it amongst yourself. Who's taking them? I don't care. Just sort it amongst yourselves."
Yeah.
You know,
that way you're getting people that want to take them, though.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But they went through.
They had another defeat. They had another game against Italy.
And they lost 1-0. But again, you know, quarterfinals against the home team, packed Stadio Olimpico in Rome, and they only lost 1-0.
Mistake by Pat Bonner, I think.
Well, it was. I think Donadoni shot, and Pat Bonner, he was off balance.
Yeah.
And he was kind of shuffling to one side.
Pat Bonner. It wasn't that moment, was it?
No. And he parried it out. To be honest, it was an awkward one for Bonner to take. And he parried it out, and then Scalacci, of course, was there to pounce. But it was quite funny because in the first round, I can't remember which one of the coaching staff or the backroom staff it was. It may have been something like the kit man. But he said to Jack Charlton, you know, so when we get to Rome, because the only way Ireland could have got to Rome, to play in Rome, was in the advanced stages. And he said, when we get to Rome, can we go and meet the Pope? And Charlton just sort of went, yeah, fine, whatever. And so when they got to Rome, Charlton was like, oh crap, the kit man was like, right, we're off then, and they did, they went to see the Pope. And they were all there. Apparently he fell asleep though, Jack Charlton, during the ceremony or something like that.
Lord of God.
But quarter final of a World Cup 90, fantastic. Huge. Showing in their first ever World Cup, might add. And then of course they didn't get to Euro 92, but they got to World Cup 94, and they beat Italy in their first game.
McGrath was immense in that.
My goodness. Ray Houghton scored a beauty, didn't he?
Yeah.
The top of Paliuca.
Is it from a throw-in? And he volleyed it.
I can't possibly.
I can't remember. He definitely scored a goal.
I think he chested it down.
Oh, he did. No, you're right. Sorry, I'm confused. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
And then there was the water fiasco, Watergate, the next game against Mexico, Pete.
I can't get him the water. The lads need the water.
They've got to dehydrate.
Anyone going to explain?
Well, it was
hot there.
Yeah. Really hot. And they
were playing in summertime in Florida, and they're Irish.
Yeah. Against the Mexicans, they're going to be hot as well, aren't they?
See, yeah. The freckles
they're
going to
emit heat.
And he nearly had a he showed his fist to one of the FIFA guys, which I'll always endorse.
There was a crazy like FIFA directive where they couldn't stop for water breaks at that point, but for whatever reason, Charlton just got a real. I understand it because he was
the lads were dying,
and they had other games to play as well. Yeah. So it wasn't like they couldn't. They needed it,
but it was also in the midday sun because of the television time. Television wanted to make sure the times were okay for Europe and so on.
Was that the match when John Aldridge couldn't go on because he'd had a bit of paper and he had to hand it to the actual FA the FIFA representative, and he didn't for whatever reason he just snatched out of somebody's hands and he refused to accept
that
or something,
right.
John Aldridge let out a big F bomb on
the
telly.
He was doing like a Bob Hoskins. He was like
What was nice about
you're a cheat. I'm Irish.
Aldridge did come on and score, which was vital for goal difference. And then they went through after drawing Norway.
We had a big bath in the water,
and then they were put out by the Dutch. And that was the Euro Pat Bonnell moment.
Yeah, that's right.
Jack Charlton was awarded the freedom of the city of Dublin in 1994.
Quite does that mean he can just do anything? Can you just go around committing crimes?
No. London. If you're a freeman of the city of London, for example, you can
drive your sheep through the town centre.
Yeah, over
like
London Bridge
sheep. Yeah, that's that ambition.
Well, you're not going to get the freedom.
Stop destroying the romance, James.
Exactly.
With that hair, I thought you'd be an old romantic.
Insane.
Or a new romantic. they never got to Euro 96 because they were
still trying.
They were beaten by Holland in a playoff.
The Dutch don't like them, do they?
Can you imagine though if they'd have gone through? England, Scotland, and Ireland would have been the same group.
Great stuff. Yeah.
Flipping heck. Yeah. And he retired in 95. The year after he resigned as manager of the Republic of Ireland, he was awarded the honorary Irish citizenship, which is, especially for an Englishman, that's unbelievable.
So again, does that mean he
Let's
can
stop
just do
this. Yep. England, Ireland, Scotland, the same group wouldn't have worked out because the seeders would have been different, surely.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thought.
Yeah,
it would be amazing.
Yeah, there you go. And there is a life-size statue of him at Cork Airport, because he was big into fishing, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he's depicted wearing fishing gear and holding an impressive salmon.
What an impressive
because
salmon!
In Paul McGrath's autobiography, he says that Charlton always used to try and take him fishing, and he always used to sneak off and go to the pub.
Was he a fan of Charlton?
I think he was. Yeah, but Charlton loved fishing so much, Charlton wouldn't leave and go find him.
Jack Charlton was inducted into the English Football Hall of Fame in 2005,
which is sort of the feeder thing into our Hall of Fame.
That's right. One could call it the warm up. And of course, he featured on the advert. Was it Carlsberg?
Yes,
the greatest pub team in the world. But he's still there, isn't he? With his knobbly knees,
and he does.
He gets booked in the advert.
Well, should book. Yeah, he's in the most recent Carlsberg advert as well. The one, but we know with all the famous sports people in it, and Jeff Stelling jumps out.
And he says,
"Just do what I tell you."
Wasn't he in the Reebok boots advert as well?
No, that was Bobby Charlton.
Was that Bobby Charlton?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, bum.
Same family.
Not the same thing.
No.
But I shall quote the Pope to sum up.
Quote the Pope.
Stop him.
Can we hear what he's won first?
Well, of course, the World Cup, the League Cup, football.
Big step down that.
First division. This is all in order, actually. FA Cup, and English Manager of the Year in 74. But when they met the Pope in World Cup 90 in Rome, he walked up to the Pope, and the Pope said, "I know who you are. You're the boss."
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. And he's into the Dean Mendes Hall of Fame.
The boss.
What a big Jack.
Yeah.
That's Bruce Springsteen. Yeah. The boss.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Football Ramble. I hope you've had a lovely time. If you'd like to email us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com and the website is thefootballramble.com, and we're also on iTunes. Pete Donaldson.
Marcus, I've got some thanks.
Oh, God.
I've got to do it last week. Apologies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Thanks to the awesomely named JP Voilacare for filling us in on John Spencer's arrival at Major League Soccer's New Boys Portland Timbers. And also thank you to Mark for reminding us about the English Super Cup in 1986, and thank you to Tom for asking, or rather making us remember how awesome it is to see defenders take goal kicks.
Marvellous.
I've got one quick thanks. Thanks to Taylor Hanson for sorting out the coaching course for us. Yeah, great, thanks.
Marvellous. Any more for any more?
Nope.
I'd like to thank you guys.
Just, oh, yeah.
Just for being with you.
Yeah. Goes about saying, James.
Yeah. Good.
Steering the ship while I was away.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, James.
Bye.
It's been goodbye from me. We're all off to Diego's birthday party. Ta-ta.